the day left.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you.
Amen.
I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love.
Amen, amen, and amen, and amen. I want to see him, don't you? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. We're glad to have our visitor. His face looks familiar, so we've been around before. But you know, I was thinking that. So, we say welcome.
Amen.
And just glad to have you with us tonight and enjoy the services. Praise the Lord with all of us, because we're glad to be able to come together and do that in the midst of the week. Amen. We just remember the announcements, you know, that they made. Remember Brother Richard and Aaron's dad. He's in real bad shape during the hospital, so remember that. And also remember Brother Addison said that they either done give it to him or either they're going to have to give him two more units of blood. Yeah. They did today, okay. He's probably all together now, lost 20 units over time. And they don't know where it's going, you know, what's taking it away or what's causing the problem. So, you know, we can pray for healing and all, but let's pray for them to find out what it's all about. I remember we were praying years ago for my brother, and he was having a lot of troubles. And, you know, we just asked the Lord to take care of it and to do whatever. Well, you know what? They just sent him on down to Atlanta one day and was checking him out. Well, the first doctor that walked in, he just looked at him. He said, "I know what's wrong with you." You know, he was right there. He just, well, see, you can say, well, this, that, or the other. Well, the Lord sent him down there, and they got it took care of. So we thank God for how that he does it, right? So remember these things. It'll be much in prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for this day and your grace. We thank you that you are God and you change not. Then we can depend on you. We know that you're there for us and doing whatever we have need of. And we pray that you'd just be with Brother Dale, our Lord, and just reach down and take that away from him. And, Lord, correct all the other things while you're at it, because he's paralyzed on one side. But maybe you can just switch that over and make this for a good benefit, Lord, and bring him out of it. We just appreciate you and we thank you. And, Lord, you just do. You work out your ways. And, Father, we ask you to bless each and every one. Be with Brother Dick there, Lord. Remember the others that are sick among us, Brother Al, just, and Brother Collie. Cover all of these, Lord, through the blood. And just have your way with us and guide us now and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter 1, we've been reading this for a while. Trying to get down to some interesting points anyway. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, written to who? This is not written to the world.
Amen.
This is written to Christians. Amen. All right. Now, I'll say this over again in a minute. The stature of a perfect man is not talking about the new birth as much as it's talking about the growth development in your Christianity. It's not just dealing with the birth. The birth Peter covers over the chapter before, saying, you know, talking about how that you're being born again. All right? See, then he comes into this situation. So look at it like that now and think about it. Because this is written to the church to tell her how to become to where he was at. All right? It says, grace and peace be unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, that's a born-again Christian that you're talking to, you know, and trying to get them to move on then. And besides this, right? Besides this. Besides what? Besides being of like precious faith. Besides being of them that are of talking about the divine nature and that have you know, gotten rid of the corruption that is in the world through lust. In other words, a born-again Christian. Right? All right? And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. So now, follow the point of what I just said, and it will help us. See, Peter is speaking to born-again Christians. Amen. Them of like precious faith. All right? Now, I know that there's a doctrine in the message that's teaching that you don't have the new birth until you get all the virtues. Well, I don't agree with that. I mean, I'm serious. I don't think the prophet did. That's why I spent month after month after month reading what he said to you. And to you that have the notes, don't, you know, it's about 5 or 6 pages tonight, and just don't throw them away because we'll probably need them again Sunday because I'm sure I won't get through. All right? It's something to try to get people to see what the Bible is doing. The Bible's not written to a sinner. The only thing a sinner can do is become knowledgeable of being a sinner. It's not written to him. See? Because he is in the world of corruption. He's not in, you know, the position to be able to do. He can only hear you need to be saved. Huh? So you can say, well, to people now watch as we get to it now in a little bit. See, people say, well, before I ever become a Christian, I studied the Bible. I read the Bible. I memorized the Bible. Well, praise God. Praise God. But have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Right? Have you got born again since you met? Oh, you went through all that. Well, I've got it all. Well, that's where the prophet, when you get down to it, reading it, see, he said it's not that kind of knowledge. He said it's the knowledge of whether, in other words, Acts 2:38 is contrary to Matthew 28:19 or not. That's the kind of knowledge we need. Right. And knowing that it's not contrary, Amen. That it is the Word.
Amen.
All right. But see, that's the kind that we need to do. Now, we'll try to get into the definition of these things as we're going through it. But now, think about what we've covered. The prophet said, have faith and be born again. He said, that is your foundation. And the whole foundation of Christianity is based upon faith in the Word of God.
Amen.
All right? And see, if we can't believe God to be able to keep his word straight, what kind of a God do you have? If you can't believe that he can keep it straight without it being contradictory, what kind of a God is it? Or really, what kind of a God are you trying to be? See, are you trying to show how smart you are? That you found this, and you found contradictions, and you found these things. You see, it's showing how smart you are. Well, what are you trying to do? Be smarter than God? I mean, that's your choice. I'm just trying to make the point or illustrate it because that's what I've always believed. I believe you're born again by faith. Amen. Believing God. Amen. Accepting him as your Savior, then him coming back and accepting you. Amen. And giving you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the new birth. And the prophet says, then you're born again in faith. Said, then these things, these virtues, are the things God expects us to add. Now, you say, well, we can't add nothing. Well, I'm not talking like that. I'm trying to get you to see what he's talking about. He's not talking about that we've got to have virtue, so we'll just have it. We've got to have knowledge, so we'll read. We'll just read ourselves into salvation. No, you can read it all you want to, memorize all you want to. It's still no good unless it's made alive. Unless that word is quickened and made alive, it is worth nothing to us except dead letters on a page. And what does the Bible say? The letter killeth. But the Spirit giveth life. All right? And see, then, as I've always tried to get you to see, then, to me, you're reading the message, you're hearing the prophet. See, Peter is trying to tell us how to come to where he is. Because he's writing about it. And he said, and the prophet verified it by saying, this is written to Christians. Those that are born again. All right? But then we need a growth development. You know. We need to keep eating. That's like a baby being born. It's born, that's good. But then it needs to eat. And that's the way the Christian must do, is eat the Word of God. Until we become the Word of God. Now, what did we try to deal with there basically Sunday? I was talking about how do you get these virtues? If we need them, how do we get them? Well, I've got where the prophet said that it's automatically given. Well, what do you think about it? When he says you've got to grow in grace and knowledge, when the Bible says you've got to do these things, the Bible doesn't say everything just automatically added. It will be automatically added if we yield ourselves. If we don't yield ourselves to God, we will have no growth development. That should be sensible enough for all of us to understand. So what do? Make ourselves available by studying the Word of God. Right? And as we study the Word of God, then God can take that, as I was trying to say Sunday, that we'd say, well, I need virtue, and we have it here, you know. As I'm eating the Word, I can't just pick out scriptures and say, oh, well, there's one on virtue. There's nothing on virtue. Well, I got it now. I got 30-something on virtues. No. It's eating the Word. And it's not to say, and that's what I've emphasized over and over. You say, well, Brother Dale, you teach us that the new birth is a revelation. Well, what do I need a revelation of? That's not for you to try to figure out. That's for us to be able to study and let God reveal it to us. Right? It's always been so amazing to me. I've tried to explain that, you know, all the 40-something years that I've tried to, how that you could be sitting somewhere listening to God, you know, speaking through some brother and he's ministering, and you're so, you get locked in with him and doing pretty good, but all at once your mind floats off on something else. Well, now, floating off might be bad because you might be asleep, so we ain't talking about that now. Well, we're talking about that the Holy Spirit can come in and just open up another channel to something over here. Because that's why I love what the prophet said. You say, Brother Dale, do you know what your... I know what my gift is. I know what it is. I know whatever minister's gift is. The prophet told you. He said it was to break the spell that Satan has over your eyes. Well, I ain't got no spell over my eyes. I believe everything the prophet said. Well, all right. That's for you and your problems, not mine. But just remember now what I'm saying. I believe the stature of a perfect man is exactly what it's saying. Stature means height, growth, or development.
Amen.
All right? And in doing that, then it brings us to the divine nature of Almighty God.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
See, we didn't know these things back down through time. Until the prophet came on the scene, it was in the Bible, but we didn't realize what it was speaking or who it was speaking about. You realize that's speaking exactly to me and you. That's our day. That we're right in the Word. This, whether I ever attain unto it or anything whatsoever, it's there for this age. Because it's not another age. There's not another time. So we're in that time of it. Doesn't that make you happy?
Amen.
To realize that God is speaking to us and opening to us the Word. And as we do, what did the prophet say? He said the Holy Ghost is sitting in your soul, waiting on you to bring Him the Word.
Amen.
Well, how does that do? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word, right?
Amen.
All right. And you bring the Word to Him and said He'll make it alive as quick as you bring it in.
Amen.
Well, isn't that wonderful? Well, see, that's the part we have to do with it. So as we're trying to cover that, add this or add that, so you'll read the prophet one time, we'll say, you add.
Yep.
All right? Then in a minute, he'll say, God adds.
Right.
Well, just get it straight. I mean, what is it? As we study the Word, He reveals the Word.
Amen.
Right? And that makes it a part of us. Okay? See? It's when the Word is revealed, then there's nothing can take it away because that's what the church is built on, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it's not trying to find secret coded mysteries. It's just to believe what God's saying. Right? Now, as we go through these definitions... Now watch, remember, you're going to have to listen to the prophet because our definitions on words might be a little different. Okay? We'll get to it in a minute where he's talking about virtue. He said, now that is not to be just to be a virgin life. But yet Webster says that's the definition of it. Webster says that's the definition of virtue. It's to be a virgin, man, a woman, or girl, you know. I'm using that because the prophet used both words. All right? See, then he said, not in this case. Then when we get to temperance, it's really going to jump out. But bless God, I ain't got no temper. I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and have a temper. You are wrong.
Yes.
And you won't admit it. Right? Your prophet said it. He said it's not temperance, according to Webster, is to stop drinking alcohol. You know, moonshine, liquor. The wrong definition for Christianity. But you see, he said it's that uncontrollable temper. Oh, I ain't got no temper. I got rid of the temper a long time ago. Well, why's your face getting red? Why are you blushing? You're trying to convince me of that or yourself? Huh? Prophet said, do we sin? He said, every day. Well, a Christian can't sin. Now we get a good definition out of that. We got it going right. But that's the point I want you to think of now. Because, listen, the word virtue, I gave you the definition of it the other day, it means a moral excellency. It means goodness. It means righteousness. Now, I like this one because it'll come over to what the prophet gave the definition of virtue being strength. Watch this one. Inherit power to produce effect.
Right.
Inherit power to produce effect. Now you'll see what it means when we come over to it in a minute, where the prophet says virtue is strength. It means chastity, ever how you pronounce it, especially in a girl or a woman. It's got that definition. But when the prophet is using it, the word, it doesn't apply in the stature of a perfect man as to the chastity part of doing like that, because it should not. Now listen, that's why I emphasize over and over and over. See, Look at the point. You said, but Webster says it's chastity. You know. Now, that's the word. But chastity shouldn't have anything to do with it when you're standing here as a born-again Christian. Right now, are we getting straight? Chastity should not apply to a born-again Christian. Right? We're supposed to be a virgin to God's word, men, women, and all.
Amen.
See, then we'll see that some of the words sometimes fall into a wrong English translation of humanity and giving us the wrong definition. But see, the prophet will say, not in this case. Like I said, there shouldn't be no problem. People say, well, I'll tell you what, boy, I've been born again 40 years. But you know, about 30 years ago, I heard the prophet's message, and I stopped drinking. That don't fit. Because I didn't drink to start with. And I hung with the guys that did do the drinking. I'd haul them in my car back in the old days, see if they caught you with in car, and you know, they'd get you. And I'd drive them over and get the beer and come back, and then I'd just leave. It didn't bother me because I didn't want to drink. I didn't have to quit drinking when it came in the message. I didn't have to quit lying, cheating, stealing. Well, when I come in the message, I found I was wrong to. Boy, somewhere you missed a Christianity point down through time.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. Okay. I get on that, I get rough, don't I? All right. Now, look. See, Peter then is trying to tell us how to become virtuous Christians.
Right.
Virtuous Christians. You know, having his nature.
Amen.
Virtuous. Having the nature of Almighty God dwelling within us by the new birth. See, then that means you got to have faith as a foundation because that's the only thing that's worth anything. All right? And think about it. If you're born again, now I'm paraphrasing, I've got these in the notes, you can have them. If they catch up, they can do all right. Brother Branham says, if you're a Christian, you don't have to worry about the feathers. Right? You don't have to worry about the feathers if you're a Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian, what are you going to have? You're going to have problems. You're going to be like the what? The crow with the peacock feathers, or what you call it. All right? You're going to be claiming something that you ain't. But when you're a Christian, see, you don't have to worry about the things of God that are expected of us. But of course, the way it generally works out, it turned out the other way because, you know, like my mom used to tell us, she said, you know, said a woman can go out here and commit adultery and said she about has to wear an A around her neck the rest of her days. But said the old man go out and commit adultery all he wanted to and said he's a brother. Right? He's a good brother. That don't fit to me on either side, okay? I'm trying to tell you, you don't listen to what's said. I didn't drink. I didn't chew. I didn't smoke. I didn't do them things. I smoked just a little bit when I was a kid and throwed it away. I didn't have no desire for it. That didn't make me a Christian. That was just a point that I didn't have any desire for those things. I'm not saying that God kept me from drinking and doing those things. Maybe he did to where I could talk about it. But I didn't know anything about it. But listen. He says, don't worry about the feathers. They will be automatically added. Now, remember what I said? There's a difference in adding automatically and automatically adding. Automatically adding, see, God will add to you if we'll yield ourselves. Right? But see, what our problem is, we try to go at it and we like I said, we take the point of saying, well, you know, faith is a new birth. Well, what do I need to study? What do I need to do? What do I need to get a revelation of about the birth? The main thing is revelation you're in bad shape at that point. That's about as good as anything. Or messed up. See, you don't have to try to figure it out. When they heard on the day of Pentecost the story of Jesus Christ through Peter in second, there in Acts 2, I think it is, where he's explaining the things, and he explains about Christ coming down and all of the things, and brought it right down to them. And they said, they become pricked in their heart. Well, read that. Peter never said, stop drinking, stop chewing, stop smoking. Now, come on, can I quote the prophet? The prophet said people ask what to do to be saved. He said, we tell them what they ought not to do. He said, we don't tell them what they really need to do. It's just have faith and be born again. Just accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's how simple the new birth is. Don't try to find a revelation. Don't worry about it. You'll find that. Why? Because as the prophet said, it will be automatically. Now listen to my definition and thoughts. Because I try to express what I believe. See, until this prophet came and brought us the message of the stature of a perfect man, we had no way whatsoever to attain unto any of these things. Oh, we could get a little bit of this, a little bit of that. We were all, but what did the prophet say on blasphemous names, which is related right straight to stature of perfect man? He said, a lot of people, and it's in the stature of perfect man, have a portion of these virtues without even being born again. You think about it. You know good neighbors that would just do anything in the world, help you do anything, give you anything. But that don't make them a Christian. Right? But you see, once you receive the new birth, now follow what I'm saying, because listen to the point now. See, I emphasize the point that there was no way for us to get it until the prophet come to tell us. Because you don't know it. We didn't know that we needed these things. We didn't know we could read, but we didn't know that these were a requirement to be added to the Christian life. We thought it was the Christian life. And that's the same thing of the people in the message, because that's the doctrine of it. That they think that these virtues and things will eventually bring you to a new birth. No, you can't even start until you're born again. Right? See, then once you're born again, if we'll yield ourselves, we have the message now. That's where I love things like this. People want little secret things. This is one of my little secret things. Go to the future home and listen to that prophet as he's bringing it down. And as he brings it down to us, rapture. As he brings it down to us, he tells us what this is, what that is, what that is. And he says, what? That these are the things he has come to tell us. Right? I mean, did we read the Bible and know anything about the future home or the rapture? But then after a while, when he comes through the rapture message, he lays out a real big nugget. And he tells you that there it is. It has been spoken, he said. Now let it come to pass. You know what? I don't believe it would have been a rapture. I don't believe there would ever have been a rapture or ever would be a rapture had it not been dependent upon the prophet's message. That's the only way I can find for any of us to get out of here is through that prophet's message.
Amen. That's right.
So then look, it has been spoken. He comes down to getting to those personal points, like in the seals when he says, I'm not looking for his coming. He was looking right at it. He could see it. Come on, church. Then what does he say? He says, these are the things that he expects you to add.
Amen.
Well, now how am I going to get it? By studying the prophet's message. By listening to tapes, praying and searching for
Amen.
God to bring it unto us. He'll bring these things to us. But you see, we're still trying to figure it out, like I said.
Amen.
We'll go this way and we go that way. When we get to temperance, we'll go this way and go that way. Because see, one side will say, well, I ain't got no temper. I ain't got no blood. There ain't no temper in me. It's all gone when I got the new birth. Then the other side says, well, I have problems. I have troubles. I'm still having problems with this. I can't get all this straightened out. And we're missing the middle of the road. See? To realize that we are human mortals. And that within us is no ability to try to serve God.
Nope.
That's not in us as human mortals.
Amen.
Oh yeah, we have a longing or desire and thing. But yet we let that override. But he says these are the things he expects you to add. Now, how are you going to add? You get new birth. Okay, we get faith. How are you going to add virtue? You can't add it until he brings the message. Everything was waiting on this day. That prophet said 33 years preaching this message. The stature of a perfect man. Go back in 1950. Run along in there and listen to him. Talking about Christians. That are genuine Christians. And coming down through there. But yet he couldn't tie it all together. Then one day he comes forth and he said on the message I was studying on. He said these things came to me. This drawing this pyramid. See, then he saw something. Well, can't we see it?
Right.
Yeah. But see, the thing of it is, how do we get the virtues? By making ourselves available to the Word of God for the hour that we're living.
Right. Right.
You know, have you ever noticed, old brother? Boy, I tell you what, old Benny Hinn, he's doing, man, I don't want to say names, but all them great guys, boy, I tell you what, I love in hearing them. They just preach real good. Where's one of them got a message?
Amen.
May I quote Brother Branham and let's get it right? Billy Graham, he said nobody could preach salvation like Billy Graham. Now that's his word. You want it?
Sure. Amen.
But you know what? Billy Graham, he didn't have a message. He had the message of salvation to try to get you to Christ. He didn't have the message to take us to a change. None of them did. Schuller's, all of them. Don't matter what. They didn't have a message. But now listen. By making ourselves available. Now what does he say? I'm quoting this coming down. He said, don't try to add it till you're actually born again. Don't try to add it until you're born again. See, lay your foundation, and then with that foundation being correctly, then you can have virtue to come upon that. And we'll get up to the point of where we're at now. Virtue. Now, I hope you understand what I've drove at, hollered at, screamed at, and everything else to get us to see. Let the prophet of God come to bring the word. Why should we worry about what everybody else is saying about it? That's where it doesn't bother me what any of these brothers are doing now. I said it 40 years ago. I said there'll come a time when the people will be leaving the message. It's on record here. I said there'll be a time come when it'll be so deceiving. My emphasis was, I said, back there, in our days in the early, late 60s, early 70s, you had people that was arguing with those that was trying to bring out those doctrines. And they'd say, forget it, we don't care. We believe the word of God that he's brought. Right? And what do? See? There was people that would argue against it. I made a statement then, and my point of emphasis was this. I said, they're using the quotes and things against us now. But I said, one day they'll come and use the entire word against us. Well, you see it now, they're saying he's wrong. They're saying the prophet was wrong. I saw that 40 years ago. I saw this and said it. I said, the biggest portion of the people of this message, born again Christians, will die and go by the grave before the rapture comes. That's on record for 40 to 50 years. Why? Because I saw exactly what I see today. People don't want to hear what the prophet said. They want some other way or some thought or something to bypass or what to do. What can I do, Brother Dale? Like one brother told me one time, he walked right up to him and he said, okay, now you told me that. He said, now you tell me what to do. I mean, that's what he told me. He said, you're saying that we need to be told what to do. Now tell me what to do. Well, you see, what I had enough of to me was to try to turn around and walk away. Because he was being sarcastic. He was telling me, you tell me what to do. I can't tell nobody what to do. I can tell you what we need to do. We need to get born again. Right? Now look. Don't worry about these things. Just get born again, and then the virtues will be added. Now, as I said, we take a virtue. And there's about, I forgot how many times virtue is mentioned in the Bible. But the prophet is talking about virtue as being strength. Strength, he says. He said strength to give virtue to the, out to the people. A pious. Now what contacted the little woman? That touched the hem of his garment. Now, come on, what contacted her? You know, I mean, you just go along with, hey, I think I'll just go touch everybody and somebody will have it. Now, what? Something directed her to a reasoning factor of human beings that if she touched him, not Peter, not Paul, James, or, you know, Paul wasn't there, not none of them, but if she touched him, she'd be healed. See, something quickened within her. Just like the man told him, I'm a man of authority. You don't have to go pray for my son. Said, just speak the word. See, something had created an atmosphere. What was that? And you'll understand why the prophet would use the word strength over the fact of using virginity. And he says, now it means in this case, not to be a virgin. All right? But it means in this case, power or strength. Well, I always kind of thought I didn't, maybe I missed a little of the prophet, but I didn't think he was 9 foot tall and could carry the world. I thought he was a little man. I don't know what size, but I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Was it his might and strength that brought her attention to the fact that if she could just touch him? Or was it the other definition that we used a while ago of moral excellency and things? She had heard about the dead being raised, the sick being healed. She had heard those things, right? And she says, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Maybe she heard about somebody else that he told to do this or had to done to that or some healing factor that had took place. And she was just saying, if I could just reach that,
right,
he'll heal me.
Right.
See? Now, listen to the point now. It wasn't as much her virginity.
Right.
It was the point of her virtuous life in the basis of watching and seeing what he was. And she said, if I could just touch him. Said, there's something about that man. Said, that man has been out here and I've seen the sick healed, the dead raised. Brother Brown said in that message, what? He said, you had to have the virtue in there. And he said, and a pace for it to go from you to others.
Right?
What's he saying? He said, it's not much of a virtue, being virtuous to the point that... Said, you see them out here being a Christian one day and the next day out living like the devil. Ain't no virtue in that. I don't care how strong they are and how much they can quote and how much they can holler. I like things like, who was it? One of the men, you know, and they come to him and they said, back in the ages, and they said, the people say, how could God do this and another through you? Said, you can't even talk, you can't preach, you can't do anything. He said, it's all Jesus. He said, that's who I'm wanting them to see.
Right?
Right?
Right.
Jesus.
Amen.
See? But living a clean, moral, virtuous life will bring people to the point of wanting to be like that.
Right. Amen.
Now, is that the definition of where he brought it? He said, now the greatest song I ever heard was to be like Jesus. When you get on over into brotherly kindness and godliness. All right? But what's he saying in virtue? It's strength. But where was the power? Was the power in her or in him? What was in her wouldn't heal her. She wasn't talking about that. Neither is the prophet talking about it in that form, right? See, but something made her think about it. Something made her consider that these things had happened. And I said about the soldier there saying, you don't have to come. I said, just speak the word. What did Jesus say? Didn't find no kind of faith in Israel like that. See? The man had heard. But listen, why can't we hear and do something about it? Nicodemus said he heard. He had heard, right? Nicodemus said, we believe that you are a man from God. Because no man can do these things unless God be with him. It pulled something out. And then when the woman touched him, it pulled the virtue out of Jesus. He's the one that got weak. She didn't get weak. She got her healing. But he got weak when it done. See, and he had a pious to let it out. His life that he was living. What did the prophet say? Live me a sermon. Don't preach me one. Now, if you'll notice, I think this is the one that he says it in. I'm pretty sure he says that lets most of us out when he's talking about having virtue. He said that lets most of us out, and I agree. It lets most of us out. We still got human problems. All right. But are you thinking with me of what I'm talking about? See, Brother Run said, faith alone won't do it. Faith alone won't take you to the stature of a perfect man. And listen, I'm saying it the best way I can. If we don't get these virtues, we are all going to die and go by the grave. Somebody has got to come to the place that these virtues will be made manifest through them, and they won't have to die. And we've had 50 years. See, the life that he was living before the people is what brought to them an understanding that there was a power there present in that man, that if they could touch that power, it would heal them. And it did. All right. You remember how I've told you many times? Say one more. When they come to me and try to tell me about I needed to be saved, I wasn't being sarcastic. I was telling the truth. I said, I live a better life than your deacon board lives. And you're telling me about Christianity. They never argued one word because they knew I could produce the goods. All right? But listen, I like it like this. Now, I'm quoting it. I was telling, I believe, who was it the other day? Maybe it was Nanny. Anyhow, Brother Branham said one day, or I'll say it for myself, I'm glad God got a hold of me before the church got me. I'm glad God got a hold of me before the church got a hold of me. Because at least I could have an opportunity. Why do you think I preach, church? I don't have to preach to go to heaven. I preach that my family will have an opportunity. I preach that this church will have an opportunity to be able to walk in the light of the hour that we live in. That's why I preach. You think it's a joy? You think it's a great thing? See? But now listen. Faith, virtue, knowledge. All right? You add knowledge. Now that don't mean worldly knowledge, because that's foolishness to God. Now there's a definition. We say knowledge. Well, I'll just study the Bible. I'll just study the message. I'll just read all the time. Well, praise God, you have a head full. Now you need the Holy Ghost to quicken it. See, that's why to me, it didn't matter to me to be 2 years coming in this message before I'd ever confessed that I had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I sure wasn't goofing off and lazing around during that time. I was reading and praying and studying and trying to serve God. But listen, It's not worldly knowledge. Now, you know what he's saying. See, it's not just to study the Word. It's not to just the fact that you read the Bible. It's whether or not that you read has been revealed to you. Right? How do you judge, he said. In other words, he said, knowledge to judge. He said, how do you judge? If you got Christian knowledge with your virtue and your faith. Now listen to it. You judge whether the Word is right or wrong. I think of it like this. God is pleased for His children to know His Word. I believe that. I believe He wants His children to know the letter of the Word, if nothing else. You know, I believe that. Because in doing that, it'll give an opportunity to flow from head knowledge or intellectualism or whatever and goes into Holy Ghost knowledge. Brother Brown says, the whole Word is wrote in mysteries. And only the knowledge of God can reveal it. The whole Bible is written in mysteries. Only the Holy Ghost can reveal that. Right? Knowledge. What about it? Faith, virtue, knowledge. Come on. These are the things that he expects you to add. Just keep adding. Now you're going right down the line. Just keep adding. How do you add it? Now, that's what I was trying to say a minute ago. How do you add it? By studying it and believing it to be God's Word, He can quicken it unto us or make it alive. Now it's added. Because remember what we were talking about. If you're born again by faith, you remember that message after message, you're born again by faith, all right? Virtue has to be the same material. Knowledge has to be the same material. Temperance has to be the same material. Same material as faith. Right? Because faith is the revealed Word of God. See? Just keep adding. He says, now you're going right. When you get things that seem to contradict themselves in the Bible, you sit down and study it. And prayerfully like that, and the first thing you know, the Holy Spirit begins to move in. After a while, you see it ties together. Yep. And there you got it. That's knowledge, he said. Well, see, we're in the opposite realm of things, like I've always told you. If you want to see it, I'll be glad. Most of you know all of my books are marked up anyway. But if you want to see my book on the statue, on the Daniel 70 weeks, there was a lot of questions. I don't understand this. I'd read it. I knew head knowledge what he was saying. I said, don't understand it. I put a question. I'd go back and lay that book aside, read other things, go around and pray. And then maybe a year later, 2 years later, I'd pick that book up again and I'd read it. And I'd take a marker and I'd mark that question mark out. Now, I would not preach it until every question mark was taken off of those pages. I'm not joking you. God's honest truth. When they were all taken off, I felt right that I could speak on it. And it stood for almost 50 years, not been tore apart by any of them. But, so I just still believe it. You know why? Because I believe that's what he said. Amen. Right? Knowledge. Not worldly knowledge. But it's heavenly knowledge, and heavenly knowledge, when God is the fountain of all knowledge, and God is the Word.
Right.
Heavenly knowledge, you believe the Word, and you reason anything by the Word. Oh, well, wait just a minute now. We got a statement there that's got some, we need some understanding. And you reason it by the Word. Yeah, but the Bible says don't reason. That's where the trouble's at. We got into this. We got all messed up by trying to reason that. That's what Eve done. She tried to reason it out. Well, you know, the same Bible that tells us not to reason says, come and let us reason together.
Right.
Now, what are you going to do? You're going to throw which one away? Right? See, to try to reason something out by human intelligence is wrong. But to wait on God to speak. Now, I quote your prophet. How long did he say it was that he wouldn't preach on hell? He said he didn't preach it until he seen it. You know. Come on. What's the problem? Why can't we do? Okay. So that knowledge is to know whether the Bible is contradictory. See, then Holy Ghost knowledge, heaven-born knowledge, will always fit together. Now, let's see if you follow what I'm saying. In the stature of a perfect man, the prophet said, you add faith. You add to your faith. You don't add faith because it's a birth. You add to your faith, virtue, knowledge. He said, now these are all tempered together, are glued together, stuck together, two or three different wordings. All right? Which he said it was the same material. Well, now that can't be different from anywhere else in the Word. Are you getting head knowledge, at least? It can't be different. If it's different, it won't work. If one God won't match up with Daniel 70 weeks or 70 weeks with one God, then... And see, we don't read what the prophet said. We take what we want. He says in the Daniel 70 weeks, he said, if you don't understand this Daniel 70, you can't understand the seals, the files, the plagues. That's his wording. Well, you say, well, I don't understand. Well, that means you don't understand the seals, the plagues, the files, the thunders.
Amen.
Come on, be sensible. But I know all about the seals. I just don't understand. It's kind of like this brother down where we used to go to church. He said something about it. He said, now, that statue of a perfect man, said, that's deep. That's deep. But he said, now, that adoption is simple. Well, it's the same thing. They're both the same thing. They're both saying the same thing. But see, that was his understanding. Uh-huh. What about it? But you see, let's see if our... Now, watch my point. Now, I'm pulling into something. I'll probably have to quit on this. But pull it into a point to get you to think. It's not head knowledge. It's Holy Ghost revealed Word. Right? That's the knowledge we're talking about. The Holy Ghost revealed Word. Right. Now, if the Word tells us we've got things, how can we argue against it and tell him he's wrong? Right? Now, the temperance doesn't mean stop drinking alcohol here either. No, no. Temperance doesn't mean alcoholic cure. Not in this case. This is Bible temperance, Holy Ghost temperance. That's just one of the lusts of the flesh. In other words, you're drinking the thing, right? But we're talking about Holy Spirit temperance. That means how to control your tongue. Not to be a tattler. Spend a lot of time on that, didn't I? How to control your temper. and fly off every time anybody speaks cross to you. Yeah. But Brother Dale, a Christian's not supposed to have any temper. Well, I only ask you one question. Peter said we've got to have temperance. Okay? So you know what? That means we have problems. Okay? Now, not admitting it, where are we at? We. Where are we at by not admitting it? No? Okay? Temperance. How to control your temper. Now go to Blasphemous Names and look at that one. It's in it. Study that message with this. He emphasizes it heavier about that uncontrollable temper. You say, yeah, but Brother Dale, what you're doing, you telling us it's okay to have a temper. No, 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 no. I'm telling you, we got one. I'm not telling us God is going to allow us to have it or not. He's wanting to do away with it. Don't go the wrong way with me. It don't justify you for a prophet to say that we sin daily. Well, see there? That's the way people do it, right? Say, what about you? Well, the prophet said it. Well, what do you mean? I mean, the prophet says that we have a temper. Well, it's okay for me to have a temper. He didn't say that now. He's just telling us the straight truth. Right? Straight truth. As human mortals, we have problems. That's what we're supposed to be working on. Right? It's not saying it's okay for you to have it. No, now I'm going to say it this way. That temperance should have been taken care of in the new birth. Right? But yet evidently there's something wrong. Because now your prophet is one that's giving you the definition, not me, that he's talking about temperance being that problem with controlling the temper. Right? Yeah, but Brother Dale, a Christian shouldn't have a temper. I agree, we shouldn't have. But do we? Right? Well, I don't have no temper. I ain't had a temper since I got born again. Let me cross you just a little bit with a word and let's see where you go. You think I'm rough. It's not rough. Let's just sit down and talk about some of the Bible, just like we're talking about this. That your prophet emphatically would tell you that you're not supposed to have a temper. But he'll turn right back around and say, we as human mortals have a temper, troubles. We have problems. We have heartaches. You know why? Because we don't have these virtues. Is that sensible? Right? Now, if we come together to the point that we can get to Holy Ghost temperance, then those things will move out of the way. But until then, we're going to have problems. Well, I don't like that. Because I thought you get saved, it took care of everything. Where'd you get that at? Where did you get that from? Baptists never even taught it that way.
That's right.
They taught once saved, always saved. They still had you sinning. But listen, church, I'm trying to get you to think about some things. That we think these things a prophet is talking about means this way when he's bringing it to mean this way, and it's coming right down and cutting the legs off of every one of us.
Amen.
I don't care who you are, who's what. The Bible will cut us to pieces. Right? But now when I look down at you and I see you do something and then I start screaming and hollering about that, I thought there's a scripture in there that says something to the degree of having my own front door swept out real good. Right? There's something to that, right? When I get my life right, then I can say something about somebody else. You see why Brother Dale don't preach on things these other preachers preach? They get hair, clothes, and rent, and that's wonderful. It's part of the Word of God.
Amen.
Should be taught. It's there. But that's not what's going to make us in the rapture.
Nope.
The denominations taught that. The Pentecostals taught that. Some of you tell me about the old days of Pentecost when they wouldn't even wear a necktie. And women's clothes had to be down to certain lengths and things. You start telling me, just remember, I'm 79 years old. I can remember some of those old days. I can remember some good old days. They always tell you about in the Baptist church there where we was going, that right behind the church was a cemetery. Dark as pitch of night. I mean black night. Women would go down one side of that cemetery and their men would go down the other side of that cemetery and they'd get out there and cry and scream out and pray to God for salvation. For their family sometimes. Don't talk to me about the goody-goody. No, don't tell me how goody-goody you are because I ain't no goody-goody and you ain't either. We're all in the same boat.
Amen.
Right? Yeah, but Brother Dale, I never done this and I never done that. Praise God. That don't make you a Christian. That's supposed to be the after effects of the Christian life within your soul.
Amen.
Right? Come on, let's go back. Walk right over here Sunday and let's listen to this man over here preach about God and Jesus and we need to be saved and we need to get rid of this and we need to get rid of that and we need to bring in all that. We need to do everything we can to save the people. Come on. But you see, one reason that I don't preach what a lot of others preach, I don't walk where they walk. And that's not good for me. See, I don't try to be something that I'm not. I'm just what I am. Right? I don't try to make you think that I'm a great Christian. I'm just like you or me. We're all the same. That's what caught me with that prophet. That a man like that, that was so close to God, until a whisper from God was all he needed, or whatever it was, and just that close, but yet he'd turn around and tell about true Christianity is Christ living in you. It's not you living it. And said, we sin every day. Well, see, what about it? Do we have any temper? Yeah. All right. Because if you caught what I was doing, see if you'll take heavenly knowledge. Now, I wish I could get this in line that I did years ago in about 1970. And I preached on it, 71, after Brother Moat preached on it, turned 70. I was riding up through the mountains going over to Brother Ben Howard's. A lot of you know where it's at up in the Blue Ridge. I mean, not Blue Ridge, what that is. Dawsonville. Going through the mountain by myself, thinking about these things. I wish I could get back what was speaking to me about how that you've got to have this one before you can have that one. All right? Now, just put it in plain language. See, you can't have virtue till you have faith first. All right? You can't have knowledge till you have faith and virtue. Yeah, but I've studied the message, bless God. I tell you what, I've got a great thing up here. I'm way up here. I'm in brotherly kindness. I really love my brothers. I might not have them other things. Well, how'd you get up there? Simple question. Right? How'd you get up there? That's as simple as I'm making it. First is faith. That's your foundation. Virtue is strength supplied by your faith. Knowledge will not add to brotherly kindness. It will add to virtue that is mounted upon your faith.
Amen.
Faith, virtue, knowledge. Temperance. What is it? Blasphemous name. Now, Brother Branham brings it through, and he gets over to brotherly kindness. And I'm pretty sure that's what we'll get back to it. But he said, see, being perfect, godliness. That's right, gets to that. He says, well, we can't be perfect. He said, oh, yes, we can. He said, it's required to be perfect. But he says, now, what is it? It said, he has to make a way.
Amen.
Right? See, these things, you say, well, they're just automatically. Now, get the point of automatically. You take faith and add knowledge. Well, it's just automatic. You get the point. You got to have faith, virtue, knowledge, and each one is cemented to the other one, are sealed in, as your prophet used the definition. Then it will come to a final sealing of the whole thing. But each age is sealed in. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance. All right. Patience. Patience can only be cemented or laid upon your temperance. And temperance can only be laid upon your virtue. Not knowledge, you know. Then on your, each one has got to be added to the other as you climb upward. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. We can't have patience. Brother Brown said in blasphemous name, he said, you come all the way. And he said, you ain't required to have the Holy Ghost yet. There's where those people taught that message. And they're still teaching it. Said, see there, the prophet says, you ain't got the Holy Ghost till you get up here to brotherly kindness or something. That ain't what he's saying. He's talking about perfection. He said, you come all this way before God requires for you to be perfect. I love that. You know what? Because if he requires for me to be perfect, and I'm going to say it whether you like it or not, if he requires me and you to be perfect, then it's got to come faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. That's the only way it can come. Right? Come on. What is patience? Brother Branham, what are you talking about, patience? He said, first one is to have patience with God. Now, there's where we all fail. That's where I fail at. Because I ask him, and I ain't meaning worldly things or something, but when I ask him for something and he don't give it to me, it tries my patience. It don't you? No, I just go... It tries mine until he makes it a little more secure. Then when it gets a little more secure and he starts talking to me, then it'll start to where I can start thinking about the real truth. Have patience with one another. Brother Brown said, 33 years. Right? Now, I'm going to say this, so that's what I said. You think what you want to about what I say, but you can't argue about it because 40 years ago I said this. That the Lord spoke to me one day, I believe it was him, and said, if you want patience, said, you got to have patience with the people. Yeah. Well, I've tried. I've failed, but I've tried. Okay? I've tried to have patience. Wanting to see you desire the Word.
Amen.
To have a joy in the Word of God. To rejoice in God's Word. That's what I'm saying. That's what I want you to do. I want you to have get to a point that you can have patience. Because that's what I need, is patience. Right? But remember, the patience has got to come towards the position it comes on. Each one is cemented on top of the other. You can't just slide it in and do what you want to with it. It has to be brought one after the other. As the prophet said, automatically added. Okay? What about God trying your patience? God tries them. I love the statement. Let's see, what is it? Where he says it, this bride will prove that she will not fall like Eve fell. Right? She'll prove it. He's going to make her prove it. I know I've tried to explain this, and a lot of people wonder, but I've always tried to explain it in this way. That you take back there in the Old Testament, there's two scriptures. One says if a prophet gives you a sign and it come to pass, you better believe it. Another one says if a prophet gives you a sign and it comes to pass and he takes you to another god, you better not believe it. You got two things. Well, I believe the prophet. Well, which one of the prophets are you going to believe? Now, the Bible says, you say, would God allow prophets to come among us and be false and things? The Bible says that he does that to try our faith, our patience. He puts trouble right in front of us to see what we'll do. Right? The Bible said even if that prophet gives you a sign and it comes to pass. Don't hear him. Why? It said, because I am trying you. None of us wants troubles. We don't ask for troubles. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about asking for trouble. You're just stupid to think you can do anything with it. Because don't ask for trouble. It's coming automatic. That's one thing I do believe in, that coming automatically is trouble. Everybody else says taxes and what is it? And death and taxes. I ain't worried about neither one of them. But listen. You mean God would send a prophet and have the sign and it come to pass? Now let's illustrate. Somebody comes in here to preach, and he says, Brother Dale said, you let me be open. I said, sure, this Sunday you just be open and do whatever, you know. And he'd get up here and he'd say, now, I'm going to pray in a little bit. And said, they're going to roll four caskets right in here. There's going to be a dead person, each one of them. And said, I'm going to get up and say one thing. They're all going to be raised from the dead. Now, what are you going to do? Because the scripture says, if it comes to pass, to believe him. Right? Am I still in the Bible? That if it comes to pass, I'm supposed to believe it. The Urim Thummim, if the light flashes and the things, you're supposed to believe it. But what are you going to do? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask you and say, well, brother, what do you preach? I said, well, I tell you what, I'm a little contrary, I guess, to y'all here, because I don't believe Brother Branham was a prophet, because I am. See, roll the caskets out, let the dead walk. We ain't got nothing to do with it. Get out of here. You mean you'd be that way? Yeah.
That's right. Amen.
Because if he's off the word.
That's right, bro.
See, God is going to try and is trying the people in this message. And you see them now falling just all across the land, just ministers and things that's been in the message 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And you see them just falling away. Right? No signs and wonders. You don't hear nothing. You don't hear that a man went off up yonder and they had signs and wonders and they was 15 people healed. And they're not, you don't hear nothing like that. You just hear people go off. The Bible said if he take you to another God, don't hear him. Now, what's another God? Brother Branham wasn't a prophet in this last day. Brother so-and-so, that's another God.
Yep, that's right.
You just got another God running with it. You understand? And God is going to permit that to happen.
Sure.
Well, Brother Dale, you're making God to be some kind of... No, I'm making him what the Bible says he is. I can't have patience. I like the way Brother Branham described it. He said, there Moses was, and said, he had patience, you remember? He was in it. He said, he throwed that rod down as it become a snake. He said, them other guys come over and they'd flip down their rods and said, they become snakes. And said, ooh, Moses was looking around, you know. Then he never got excited. He just waited. And said, just about that time, gloop, gloop, and Moses' snake ate up the others. Well, what if he just took off running? See, Pharaoh had no way, because Pharaoh knew one thing. Let's see, did he use the word cheap magician's trick or something like that? I don't know Brother Branham used it. I don't know where it's direct written in the Bible, cheap magician's trick. But anyhow, he said, that's just a trick. He said, here, throw him down. He could do everything that Moses could do. But I love this one. He could bring things, but he couldn't take them away. Go read your Bible. He could bring, Pharaoh could bring them, but he couldn't take them away. Because that's definitely a different ministry. Can't be impersonated. What about it, church? Do you see what I'm getting? Building it higher and higher and higher and higher. Then we come to godliness. The godliness to be added. What does godliness mean? He said he looked it up in many dictionaries. He finally found one. He said godliness means to be like God. To be like God. What is godliness, true godliness? To be like God. But be careful how you use that. Because that's Satan's approach also. He wants to be as God. Right? Is that the Bible? Satan wants to use that to be as God. What is it about being like God that would be? To have God's faith, God's virtue, God's knowledge, God's temperance, God's patience. And that'll be like God. Right? Brother Branham doesn't use the great definitions of being like God. If you'll notice one thing in there as you're reading it, I gave you the runoff to you that have it. I gave you the runoff to carry you basically through. But if you'll notice one thing that always stuck with me, that Brother Branham spends a lot of time emphasizing faith, virtue, knowledge, and temperance. He starts in temperance, slowing down. I don't mean that wrong. But see, he doesn't put in there a lot about, he puts a good bit about patience. Then all at once in godliness, he just says it's to be like God. He covered a few scriptures and goes on. Because you're getting up to the place now where God can trust you.
That's right.
To be like God. to have God's faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, and godliness. To be like God. All right, then what does he say? Charity, he only gives two or three paragraphs in the book that he speaks of charity. And telling us about the dollar bill and the different things and showing how it was charity and all of doing. You understand? The further you go up the pyramid, the less you're going to have to be propped up. You don't have to prop it up. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. You just have to believe it and go on. Brotherly kindness. You come to brotherly kindness and you say, well, I need brotherly kindness. And what was his definition? He said, now, brother, maybe die. And he said, maybe you had a little problem. And you didn't get around to making things right. And said, the brother passed on. He said, you really wanted to be able to go and talk to him, right? And get everything right. Brotherly kindness. Right? Brotherly kindness. Hoping someday. Now this is what I was doing going across the road, and if you'll listen. Then put, see, brotherly kindness. See, hoping. Someday, see, patient with him, see, temperate, enduring with him, knowledge to understand what he believes. Remember, it's in his heart. Now, if you listen to what I'm saying here, the only way you could ever come to this one is to have some godliness. That's what it is. Virtue in yourself to let it out with kindness, meekness to him. Having faith that someday God will bring him in. See, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. Can we have God's patience with one another and have brotherly kindness? You know, some of you around here hadn't shook hands with some of the other people in 10 years, probably. Uh-oh, you're meddling now. Well, is it true? I mean, do we love one another? I went to preach in a church one time. I was talking to some other day. And I came out, and there stood my wife and Brother Gary Atkins and Sister Rebecca. And they were standing out there. Margaret. Brother Gary's first wife. They were standing out there, and I walked outside the church, and I said, hey. They was all over here, and everybody else is over there. I don't remember I said something to them. They said, we've been standing here the whole time. And said, nobody ain't come by and shook hands with me. I said, that ain't no problem. I said, I just got through preaching the sermon. Ain't nobody shook my hand yet. Then you call it brotherly kindness. Right? Just think about these things. They asked Brother Luis is not in here. I guess he's in the back. But they asked him something the other day. Some people did. He's telling us out there the other day. And they was asking kind of how Brother Dale was. And he said, well, Brother Dale's right out there with the people. If you'll notice, if you'll stay around long enough, I'll shake your hand. Now, I don't care if he's 100 here or 500. I'm going to shake your hand if I can. I preached for a man one time, walked out of the church, and I was looking for him. And I said, well, forget it. I didn't come here for him. I just started because I knew all of his people. I had preached there before and everything, you know, and I was going out through there shaking hands with everybody. How you doing, brother? How you doing, brother? I had Wally come out there. He said, I was wondering where you was at. I said, I'm out here with the people. Well, according to my understanding, if you get to see him, you got to pick out a certain number. And he's, you know, you got to have a ABC code to go through the deacons. And then that code can get to him, you know, the deacon can, because you ain't going to talk to him. Well, I can't do that. That ain't none of my business what he does. But I can't do that. I'm going to shake your hand. I want you to know. I tell you to the brothers. I know I've gotten in trouble with this. Wade can tell you about it. We've been places, and I'd walk up to pastors and preachers and say, "Brother, I love you." Man, I wouldn't have got into a bad guy here. He's a little gay or something, you know. And, yeah. But you're going to shake my hand. And if I know you got something against me and you're upset with me, you're going to shake my hand. Because that's one thing I've got is a little bit of brotherly kindness. Maybe a little bit. Okay, let's go. Five more minutes. Brotherly kindness, then you come to charity. All right? We can come to a lot of things about charity, but I want to just make one emphasis on to the last, and then we'll pick up something about this Sunday, the Lord willing. But I want you to think about one thing. When you're looking at the pyramid and the things, and you're seeing it says Holy Spirit right here, and then it says love. We all know that's the Holy Ghost all the way up and down. But this is what I like, what the prophet said off the stature of perfect man. Paragraph 328. They can pull it up if they want to. It's the last one, 13. All right. Now, what does this do? Then you're waiting for the headstone, which is love, for God is love. And he controls and he's the strength of every one of these things. That's right. Yes, sir. Now he's talking about the headstone, which is love. But right down below that is the Holy Spirit. Now listen to him. Right in here, you see I got in between all these works in here. And here these little waves come. What is that? The Holy Ghost coming down through Christ, see? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is above all this, welding it together, building a what? A perfect church for the capstone to cap it off. See? He put Holy Spirit in the right place. Because that's the one that seals it all together. You want the headstone? Headstone can't come until we get all these virtues. All right? Can't get out of here until we get these virtues. Okay? These virtues are the nature of Almighty God. Each virtue is God's nature. And each one, as I tried to cover, is to be added one on to top of the other, not just fling them out and you pick up what you want. It's got to come the way God gives it. And that's why he's been so patient with us. Waiting 50 years since the going of the prophet. Waiting on us. Where he can add these things. See, there's things in there that you and I cannot do and be. So he has to add them to us. But once he adds it to you, it's yours. You remember that now? It's yours. God give it to you. When God gives you faith, puts virtue on it, knowledge, temper, it's building the stature of a perfect man with his nature, his makeup, and bringing an individual to the place that we can walk off this earth one day. Come on, musician. Think on these things. I wanted to emphasize the virtues in a group like to talk about it because some of those things don't seem to fit the human terminologies of what we're doing, but it fits what the prophet was doing or what he was saying. So it don't make no difference about us then. It ain't up to us. And may I say one more time, see? How could of mankind ever receive the stature of a perfect man if Peter had not preached it? How could it be attained unto in the end time until the prophet come and brought the message? Right? that God has waited on you and I. Adoption, he said. To where that he could come and fill us with every fiber of our being, take us into rapture. Well, I just can't see, Brother Dale, that ever happen. Well, then you're an unbeliever.
That's right. Amen.
The best way to say it, you're an unbeliever because the prophet said it, right? Amen. I mean, you get offended at me. No, why don't you get offended at him? You know, and say, Brother Adam, you shouldn't have said that about me. No, you know better than that, don't you? You see, we try to use it to justify our own thoughts. What we got, brother? Let's stand. Think on these things.
Leaning on everlasting.
These virtues must be a part of our being. And God has given us the opportunity.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine. Leaning on the everlasting arms.
I hope you understood the way that I'm trying to bring and let the prophet say it. He said, I don't have no temper. The prophet said we had it. Well, I got all it. No, the prophet said we didn't have it. Now, that's left up to you to decide in between all of that.
How sweet to walk in this pilgrim way.
Have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? May I say it this way? Have I become your enemy because I preached the way the prophet brought it? And if I didn't, you have every right in the world to come and see me. Safe and secure from all the alarms. Just remember the one thing. If God requires you and I to have something, he has to make the way for us to receive it. And he will. Danny needed patience. So we got a grandchild. Hard way of getting patient. Little word. Right? We need something. God will order it. He'll put it on us. He knows how to do it. Father, we thank you for tonight, and we just pray that you bless us as we go now, going on our own way home, Lord, and just, Lord, that you would just cover and guide us all. What we've tried to preach tonight, Lord, has been in our heart, and you know that, to try to get us to see who we are and what we're doing. And we just ask you now to be with us. Bless everybody on the way home. Take care of everybody. Give everybody a safe journey. And, Lord, be with all of the sick ones. Be with Dale, our Lord, and touch him. And just bless him, Lord, and let everything come out to be all right. We love you and we thank you. Just guide us all in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.